Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you so much that we have again an opportunity to come before the throne of grace to worship together as your people. And also, Lord, that we can read your word. We ask that your spirit will speak to our hearts, illuminate these words to us. Allow us, Lord, to grow closer to you, that we will be deeper in understanding your heart and your will for us. In your name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, I was talking to a pastor, and talk about passion. He was really passionate about this. But it's the first time in my 38, 39 years of life that I've ever heard that. He said, I really do not believe in going on the mission field. I said, well, really? You know how passionate we are about missions. He says, you know, I have a good reason for that. I think the missionaries are doing people an injustice. I think they're doing a bad thing. I said, what do you mean? He said, you see, if you don't go tell them about Jesus Christ and they don't hear about him, if you don't tell them about the gospel and they don't know about it, then they cannot be judged by it. And so they'll go to heaven without being condemned. Well, that's a crazy rationale, I thought. But it kind of makes a little sense, right? I don't know how many of you have ever heard this phrase or someone said it to you. I'd rather ask forgiveness than for permission. You know, you heard that before, right? A lot of children do that. They figure they can get away with it if they don't know. It's like, I don't know if you've ever been stopped by a police officer before. I have many times. Never got a ticket. I won't tell you why, but. And you know, one of the rationale, and I've never used it because I didn't know, I didn't know the speed limit. Really? It's only 35? Yes, you were going 80. Well, I had no idea. You know, that's the rationale that goes, it doesn't work, guys. Don't use it. Just cry. That works better. But I told you before, one time, we had this said to me, and Barbara and I were on the way to Ukraine. Some of you heard this before because it was, one of these things you never forget. We landed and we were picked up by a missionary who was living in our house, our mission house. And she said, oh, Pastor Dan, Barbara, I need to confess something to you. I need to ask forgiveness. So she knew it was wrong already. She said, well, I had a friend that was pregnant and she was going to have a baby, and they wanted a live underwater birth. It's okay. What does that have to do with me? Well, you have a nice jacuzzi in your house. I said, oh, no. Yeah, we used it, you know. And in my mind, I'm thinking of all the blood and placenta and all kinds of stuff going through the jets. And she said, I didn't know if you would let me do that, but I want to ask forgiveness if you were going to say no. So she wanted to do it, not knowing whether it's a yes or no. And of course, that thing went on eBay. Actually, no, we got rid of that thing. It's not there anymore. You will not see that jacuzzi in my place ever again. That's what we do. We don't want to know right and wrong. And so some people are going out there saying, you know what? If people don't know the gospel, how can they be judged for it? I want you to understand as we go through the book of Romans, this is sermon number 8, and we're in the middle of chapter 2, so you know it's going to be long. You need to know that people are not judged whether they respond to the gospel or not. They're judged for the sins that they have lived and experienced and perpetrated, and that's what they're being judged on. You have in your bulletin a story that I wrote to you about Salk, the fellow who invented polio. If somebody says, you know what, I do not want to take that vaccine back in those days, and he gets polio, it isn't because of the choice of the vaccine. It's not the vaccine's fault. It is the polio disease out there that caused it. So we need to understand that our consequences, the judgment upon us as sinners, is because we're sinners. It's not because of the gospel, whether we know it or not. And so the Apostle Paul has been going through this, and we are going through chapter 1 and 2, which talks really some devastating things on humanity. It is talking about the depravity of man. And Paul's writing this, and God using Paul to speak to our hearts that we are being judged rightly by him because of these things. And today, we want to talk about a few things that's really important. First of all, how about this law? Now, you need to understand, back in those days, wherever Paul was, the church would have a lot of Jewish folks in it, because the Jewish Christians were the first ones, right? And they would populate the churches, whether it's in Corinth, whether it's in Philippi, whether it's in Rome. And some of these Jewish folks are thinking, wow, you know what? We had the Lord. We are special. Well, Paul wanted them to know that, no. You need to understand that you have the law, but that doesn't mean you automatically are saved because you have it. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But he wanted them to know that, yes, you are special. You got the law. You got the Ten Commandments. You have the law of Moses. You have the Old Testament there. And because of that, you will be judged accordingly. But there are all these other people that don't have it. It doesn't mean they won't be judged, but they won't be judged according to the law. We'll get into that in a moment. When I was in New York for all these many years of ministry, every Friday night when I was a teenager, particularly as I was growing up, I would go out to the streets of Manhattan and I would do witnessing. I had a pack of tracts in my pocket every time, and a few of us in the church would do that. Every single Friday night, we would do that. Friday night is a big night. People will come. The streets are packed, if you can imagine, Lower East Side. And I would take my four spiritual laws, and I would find people and begin to talk with them. And I want to tell you, most of the people I share the gospel with, they never heard the gospel. You would think that in America, you would hear it. In Houston, everybody knows the gospel. It seems, perhaps, maybe not. But it's not like that in other cities in America, certainly not New York City. And I would share the gospel. Most of the ones that are Asian would say they're Buddhists. And they would hear it for the first time. They've heard of churches before. They never darkened the doors of churches. They don't know what the gospel is all about. And so as I'm sharing it to them, they don't know. They don't know the laws of the Bible. They don't know the principles of the Bible. They don't know anything about the Bible. They barely seen the Bible. They don't have one in the house. So when I'm sharing the gospel with them, it's the first time. So you say, how are these people judge? How does God deal with them? How can he say to them, you are sinners and I'm condemning you to eternal damnation, when they never even heard the gospel? Again, it isn't the gospel that's condemning them, it is their sins. And so if they don't have the law, how would they be judged? They will not be judged by the Lord, they'll be judged by other things. So it's important for us to understand that as we share the gospel with people, that it isn't like, well, you're not responding to the Ten Commandments. You're not responding. No. These people don't have it. But for those who do have it, well, we'll be judged accordingly. And it's interesting that this word, the word hear, it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law. This word hear, it's not just what you're hearing right now. In the Greek, it's very it describes it in a different way. It is about hearing all the time. It's as if you are in a seminary class and you're hearing all the time. It's as if you're in Sunday school class, you're hearing all the time. So it's talking about that. You say, wait a minute, people that do that, they must have responded, right? Well, you can hear something, doesn't mean anything to you. The scripture here is very clear. If you have the law, if you hear the law, and you are not justified just because you heard it. So just because you go to church every day, every Sunday, every week of your life, doesn't mean that you're justified. It is how you respond to it if you're going to be justified. Last week we looked at the word partiality in verse 11. God shows no partiality. Remember, the word was a combination of two words. The word face and the word to show face, you know? That's what partiality is about. God doesn't care what you look like. God doesn't care whether you're wearing a suit today, whether you're wearing t-shirts today. God doesn't care whether you're Asian, you're white. God doesn't care whether you're rich or poor. He doesn't care because he shows no partiality. And so when he judges us, when he looks at us, when he, in his righteousness, deals with the sinfulness of man, he doesn't look at those things. He looks at what we are, who we are, what we have done, the kind of actions that we have perpetrated and have been a part of. He is not looking at just show. God is deep. So law, if you have the law, well, you're going to have to live up to the law. You can't just hear it. You can't say, I'm a deacon, I'm a Sunday school teacher, I go to church all the time, I hear this stuff all the time. No, no, that's not good enough. It is the doer of the law. So when we talk about the law, that's what we need to understand. But if you do not have the law, like those that have never heard about the Bible and all, they will not be judged according to that. Because our God is a God that shows no partiality. Our God is a fair God. I know there's a lot of people out there that talks about that. In fact, some who claims to be Christians say our God is just not a fair God. How can he sentence some people to hell? How can he do that? How about these people that do such wonderful things in life? No, maybe they're Mormons. Maybe they're some other religions. But they do such good things. There has to be something about that. God can't be sending them to any place that would be horrible, right? No, the Almighty God is fair. He'll judge us according to the law if we are under the law. And the Jewish folks back then were under the law, and they could not even meet up to it. They would hear it, and they thought that because they heard it, because they went to synagogues, they went to all these things because they heard it, they're good enough. And God wants to let them know that's not good enough. And we have to wait to chapter 3 to understand why and what is good enough. But the second thing we find here is interesting, is something that we need to learn about, and that's the conscience. The word conscience is interesting. It basically means with knowledge. Conscience. I remember when I was a kid, I have a phobia with rodents. You know, you want to scare me? Don't use a snake. I'm not scared of them. Take a little mouse, and Barbara's done it before. You know, put it somewhere, and it'll freak me out. That's just how it goes. But one of the things, rodents, that I'm not afraid of, not too much, it's a hamster. You know, when I was young, they got me a couple of little fluffy hamsters. Pretty cute. They do bite, but not too much. And then one day they had babies. You know, hamsters do that. And I was just watching these babies grow up. And they were in a little cage. And one day I saw only a couple left in there. I don't know what happened. They escaped. They ran all over the place. So I'm trying to find them, catch them and all, and I discovered why they escaped. Because the mother, at a certain age, decided that she was going to, well, I don't know, she ate them, but she was killing them. She was hurting them. Now, it just freaked me out there. So I gathered and separated them and rescued these babies, the ones that were left. That's what animals do. They operate on instincts. They have babies, they do things, they protect them. After a little while, they forget who they are, and they can actually attack them and hurt them. You know, animals do those kind of things. We don't think anything about animals doing those things. But we do think badly about people who do those things. We put them in jail when they hurt the babies. There's a mother just last night, you might have saw the news, somewhere up in near Dallas area, I think it is, that put the baby in a garbage trash can. And she might face charges, and she probably will, because she did something to a baby. That is something that we don't think about. We can't think of people doing such things, because you know why? Even if you don't have the law in front of you, even if you don't have the Ten Commandments in front of you, you do not do those kind of things, because somewhere inside our essence, our being, there's something in there called a conscience. It's like the hand of God has written in our spirit, in our soul, in our heart, that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. We know that. In fact, if you have children, you would know that even more. You know, your two-year-old, three-year-old, she does something or he does something. And then you ask, did you do that? God bless these young children. They do that often. Somehow it's just in them. So, oh, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I never went there. I never ate that. I never broke that. They just naturally say it almost. And it's a lie. And why do they lie? Because inside their little hearts and little souls and little essence, they already know what's right and wrong. And they think what they did is wrong, so they don't want it to be revealed, so they lie. And that's a common thing. You teach a child not to do that, and they grow up not doing those kind of things with consequences and punishment, whatever it is that it takes. So you teach them not to lie, tell the truth. But telling the truth sometimes is really hard because you know what you did is wrong. Now, how do they know that's wrong? Because it's already written in the heart. That's conscience. In fact, if you look at every society, conscience is common. For instance, we were studying some of the missions work in Irian Jaya, in Indonesia, New Guinea, places like that. Those are places, and 100 years ago, they were cannibals. They would eat people. But even those folks that would eat people, they won't eat everybody, because it's wrong to eat your sister. It's okay to eat your enemy. Your sister, your brother, your mother, no, you don't eat them, that's terrible. Somewhere there's a conscience there. You know, these gangsters that are out there, the mafia is out there, they will kill people without a thought, but they won't kill everybody. There's some people it's wrong to kill for them. There are things that you do, there's things that you don't. Some people who don't have any conscience, we call them, it's amazing the kind of things they would do without a thought. Well, these people, or their conscience, something's happened to it. See, consciences can be seared, the Bible tells us that. Consciences can be dulled. And not only that, consciences can be taught. You can teach your conscience. And so in a society like ours, and every society, in fact, societal conscience, we begin to teach them. We use justice system to do that. We use educational system to do that. We begin to teach them. But nevertheless, there is a conscience in there. And the Apostle Paul is talking about this, and he says, you know what? There are all kinds of different ways in which God judges us. And the wrath of God is being revealed in our lives, in our society. One of them is the conscience, because we all have that. We all have a conscience in us. And when the conscience is blessed by God, it's filled with the Spirit of God, you know, that conscience is different, of course. But nevertheless, you still have a right and wrong, a little bit of this and that in there, in which you know, uh-oh, I did something that's wrong. I've never in my life talked to a person that said, I'm not a sinner in my whole life. You know, somehow, whether the person is a Buddhist, whether a person is an atheist, whether a person is a Christian, whoever he is, he knows he was a sinner. Why? Because of this conscience that is there. So the Apostle Paul, as he's talking about this, says, you know, this is why you do the things you do. Those of you that have the law, hopefully you're following the law. Those of you that don't, something in your conscience tells you don't do that. There's a limit to what you can do. And I think as God's people, that conscience, that small voice in you, that should be nice and loud. So that when you see something, when you do something, when you think about, you know, making a decision, that needs to be there. There are always possibilities. I remember this when we were building our church in New York City. We had a big church, a program. It was a lot, $2 million. I still remember, I happened to be the contractor of Big City because our church is pretty young. And I remember sitting in the office of this company that was building our church. And they did some things. We were negotiating what to do. And negotiated to a place where it was good. It was a real good thing for us, for our church. It saved us a lot of money. But I knew I could get $50,000 more. I knew I could. They were willing to give it. But at that point, something came into my heart. I would call it conscience, but I also call it the Spirit of God just speaking to me. Say, don't do that. Don't do that. That would be wrong. And so we didn't do that. You know what? We still have a great relationship with that company, who is not a Christian company. They were not Christians. But because of a good relationship, a choice to not just get everything you can from somebody, you know what? We were able to bless them. We were able to share our love for God, and it meant something to them. These are the things that we need to watch out for. We need to hear the voice of God in our lives. What I mean by that is not some, you know, voice out there, the Word of God, and how the Spirit of God speaks to us through it, that we need to do the right thing. Conscience is like that. So we all have that. And the last thing we want to see here, and the Apostle Paul talks about, is the motives. This is kind of scary here. He says, you know what? One day, the Lord is going to reach down, and he's going to investigate and examine all your motives. Did you know that in heaven, God has an account of everything we've done. The only thing that's not there is if you are forgiven, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you ask God to forgive your sins. I want to tell you, all your sins are wiped away. He doesn't have records of any of that. The Bible tells us that. But the things that we've done since, even, he has records of it. Not the sinful things, the things that, whether we're faithful to him or not. And if you are not a believer, every single thing that you've done is there. And not only that, it goes in not only the things you've done, the motives why you have done those things. I don't know if you ever went to a timeshare before, have you? Barbara says, if you do it again, you make me go to a timeshare again, you know, you're going to be in deep trouble. You go to Florida, you know, and they're offering you two tickets to SeaWorld. The tickets is like $130 each. You say, that's pretty good for a couple of hours. They say 90 minutes. Come on, Barbara, let's go. She's like, no, no, not again. We've been there. We don't go anymore. Maybe. So we go there, right? And you go to a timeshare, and what do they do? If you don't know, they're trying to sell you something you should never buy, okay? But first, they tell you, oh, you're such a nice person. You're such a nice couple. You really care for your kids. They compliment you. And then they start telling you, oh, you know what? You can really be good to your children if you just buy this for them. And then after a little while, when they realize that you have no intention of buying it, they start belittling you. What's the matter? You can't afford it? Oh, my goodness. You got money, right? You got a job. And it goes on and on and on. And it goes on, next thing you know, they're threatening you almost. See, their motivation is what? They have only one motivation, and that is to sell you that timeshare. And they'll use all kinds of ways, all kinds of words, all kinds of actions, whatever it is. They'll give you a good breakfast. They give you $200 or two tickets or whatever. Whatever it is, these are the actions. But their real motivation is they want to take money from you so that they can make the sale on something that you shouldn't buy. Motivation. Let me tell you, God knows our motives. There are people that do all kinds of things with motives that are awful. Well, we say Thanksgiving Day, you know what happens. All the politicians are out there in the soup kitchen, all the celebrities, sports celebrities, they're out there, you know, and the camera's behind them, and it's going to be on the evening news. Their motivation, you say, wow, they care about these poor people. Really? Would they go there without the cameras? Probably not. God says, your motives will be laid bare. Laid bare. And he says, on that day, when is that day? There is a day of judgment, you know. There is a day of judgment. There are many days of judgment. There are consequences in our lives. When we take actions, they happen. But there is a day of judgment in verse 16. On that day, when according to my gospel, the Apostle Paul writes, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. We are going to be judged on the secrets of our hearts. I hope there are not a lot of secrets in your heart that you're ashamed of. Because if you have them, I would recommend that you ask the Lord to forgive them and just submit them to the Lord, commit them to the Lord, and trust him to heal you from them. But we have secrets in our lives. And if there's secrets like that, you don't want them. You don't want them to be revealed on that day. You want them to be dealt with, cleansed, forgiven long before that. But know that God, the judge of the universe, he knows those things. Why do you do what you do? You know what? The good thing about all this stuff is Paul is leading to a place in chapter 3 where he wants us to know that the power of the gospel is able to change, to forgive, to transform, no matter what the circumstance you're in. And the wrath of God being revealed to our society, well, they don't have to be a part of our lives. They don't have to be a part of our future. They don't have to be a part of our families. They don't have to be a part of who we are because we have Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. Let me tell you something. We all need to be saved. We all need the salvation from Jesus Christ. Because without it, we're living with this. Without it, we're trusting the law. Without it, we're trusting in our conscience. Without it, we're trusting in our actions and our words and perhaps our superficiality. We're trusting in things that cannot be trusted. We need Jesus Christ. We need His saving power. We need what was done on the cross of Calvary to be upon and in our lives so that we can be people that are forgiven, saved, transformed, so that we can live lives that are awesome before the Almighty God. Good news is coming. It's in chapter 3. So I hope you read with me and study as we move on to that in the next few weeks. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you that we don't need to be concerned about what we know or don't know, the laws, whatever. We do know that you have saved us. Father, I pray that you would teach us to be able to share this love, this amazing, amazing message to those who do not know. And Father, this week, as we have our young people going out, along with so many young people from all over this state and outside and beyond. Father, as we share the love of Jesus Christ through the work that will be done, that, Lord, your love will be clear. Your gospel will be awesome. And, Lord, that people will be transformed because of you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.